Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
I'm afraid I drive around, I see those billboards from Massachusetts saying, 30 miles, come on up to Springfield, legal marijuana. So we're getting rid of all that. We're getting rid of any of that advertising that could appeal to somebody under the age of 21. And Melissa, you're absolutely right. You know, Ridgefield and other towns, they say, I just assume not have a dispensary here. I just assume not have a package store here. I mean, they've got their legal rights to do that. And I think you're going to find a fair amount of towns who, you know, say no, or at least say not now.
That's right. That was Governor Lamont on our show just a few days ago addressing marijuana legalization. In 2 days, it will be legal for you to walk around with recreational marijuana up to an ounce and a half, and you won't get in trouble for it. Now, as of spring of 2022, municipalities will have the option to create retail space to sell cannabis right out of the gate. It seemed like moments after Governor Lamont put the pen to the paper, signed this into law, it was Ridgefield's first electman, Rudy Marconi, who said, "It's not happening in my town." Rudy is here this morning. Good morning, Rudy. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Melissa.
So why was that your reaction right out of the gate?
Well, it's been my feeling for many years now. And although we do have medical marijuana, and I understand it, and I understand the benefits of it from a medical perspective, know many people who find a great deal of relief using it for anxiety, counteraction, et cetera. So to those people, please don't think that I'm trying to remove medical marijuana. I am not. But at least with medical marijuana, we have controls like every other drug we have in our society. And to say that we have liquor stores on every corner or many of them throughout our state, my response is, and how many AA meetings do we have every morning across this state with people who have that addictive gene? And it is a disease, as it will be, is with marijuana. 8 to 10% of the people become addicted. Now, does everyone who smoke marijuana become a heroin addict? Absolutely not. And I'm not saying that. But show me a heroin addict did not start with marijuana or alcohol or something else. This was an opportunity to draw the line, and we did not. And why didn't we? Because of money. Mm-hmm. Our society has a love affair with the green dollar, as does the legislature, and they were chasing $200 million, maybe more, maybe less, without paying attention to the consequences that are going to be suffered through many families in this state. And an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to secure necessary funding to help create more beds, more rehab centers, more affordability for people who can't afford the high-end expensive rehab centers that are popping up everywhere supported by hedge funds because there is so much money in it. Again, we had an opportunity and we didn't take advantage of it. And the list goes on. So those are some of the reasons why in Ridgefield, and although I don't have any unilateral powers, for me personally, I would say no. And I'll be, attending the Planning and Zoning Commission to ask them to implement regulations. And if necessary, I will even bring the possibility of a local town ordinance to the Board of Selectmen and on to the people for a vote.
Does it seem like, Rudy Marconi of Ridgefield, does it seem like the Planning and Zoning Commission, for example, or other town leaders, do they agree with you? Like, do they seem open to your idea of, you know, because like I said, you made it very public and very well known that this is something you are against. So yes. Are you getting support from other town leaders on this?
I haven't heard from many town leaders. A couple have called and say, are you getting any backlash from your position? And I said, no, I have not. Now, I know there are people that totally disagree with me, but there are also people that very much agree with what we're saying here. And it was an issue that needed more time, more discussion, and more fairness if they were going to move forward with it for the almighty dollar. And that's what I'm disappointed in, that our state, our elected representatives thought nothing but the money, and we had to hurry up and pass this, and it's going to backlash on us.
Do you worry, Rudy, that people are going to just, because there won't be retail sales in Ridgefield, do you worry that people are going to be driving high more because they're now going to other towns or cities to go and get their weed, essentially?
You know, many people drive high right now, whether it's alcohol or marijuana.
Very true.
I don't think we had the opportunity to look at the consequences of someone driving. I didn't hear many discussions about that. And in other states where it has been passed, this is an issue. We had an opportunity to take lessons learned from other communities, other states, and implement corrective action here, and we did not. And that's what I fault our state legislature with, rushing and then doing in a special session because they didn't think they had the votes or it wasn't going to pass. Whatever the reason was going to be in the regular session, a filibuster, I don't know. And they wanted to get the rest of the budget passed. If you know something is so controversial, hit the pause button and have the proper conversations and listen to the people who have an opposing point of view. Don't come up with a way to get it passed because you feel it's important. The whole process, to me, is broken. And the result is we will have retail allowed, retail sale of cannabis allowed. It's hopefully not going to be in Ridgefield. But to answer your question, with people driving, I think we're going to see a higher incidence of that. Whether that's going to lead to additional traffic infractions and possible accidents with injuries remains to be seen. But we should have studied it more.
We're talking about legalizing marijuana. It's happening as of Thursday of this week. Now, getting back to one of the initial points, Rudy Marconi, for why you are against recreational marijuana and not bringing retail stores to your town. One of the biggest things, it does seem like you keep bringing up alcohol, addiction issues. It seems like a big fear, which I can absolutely understand. And I also have said on my show many times, young people being attracted. You know, right now we're having a huge issue and have been for about 10 years, I would say, bigger than ever, with vaping issues and attracting middle schoolers, high schoolers, even college students. So would you say that that is one of the driving things that you're most worried about in your town is younger users? And do you predict that we're going to see more addiction among especially younger users now that things are legal?
Well, if we look back a little bit in history and we continue, we look at the influence of marijuana or vaping or whatever popular narcotic is of a certain generation, none of them have ever replaced alcohol. Alcohol today and in the past, and I'm sure into the future, will remain as the number one abused drug in our schools, in our young population. Not everyone, as I was referencing a little while ago relative to marijuana, not everyone who drinks or consumes alcohol becomes an alcoholic.
Right.
But again, we don't know who of us are genetically predisposed to an addiction. And if you have it in your family history, an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, whomever, you run the risk of having that gene and becoming an addictive person. That's the concern with young people today. And until we come up with science, or science comes up with a way of determining that, so at least we have knowledge and a warning about who we are as individuals scientifically, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful with the younger generation. Again, alcohol is number one. Second to alcohol today, yes, is vaping. And there's no question that it's really taken a hold in our schools, and not just our high school with 17, 18-year-old young people, young adults. It is happening in the middle school. We have had letters go home from principals in our middle school warning people that look out for these signs. Your children are experimenting. Yes, it is here in our school. And the average age of experimentation, most people don't believe this, but it's like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They're all curious whether it's dad's refrigerator in the garage with some beer. Dad doesn't take an inventory of his beer in the refrigerator. He doesn't recognize if a six-pack or a couple of cans are missing or bottles.
Sure.
And the same thing with the vodka in the cabinet. They'll take that and put a little water in it and say, hey, I've got plenty of vodka. You need to be aware as a parent of what your children are being exposed to. And this also falls in line with cannabis. There's going to be more of it available. Kids are going to be experimenting with it. And if parents are using it at home in a non-private area, in other words, exposing their children to it, it's like a parent saying to their son on a Friday night or daughter, when you go out tonight, no drinking. Honey, get me another martini. We contradict ourselves
sure.
all the time.
No, and I totally understand what you're saying. I think devil's advocate on this one, though, Rudy. I'm just curious.
Sure.
What are sort of your thoughts, though, the fact that this is at least going to be we're not going to be seeing like the illegal drug deals going on. I think a lot of times when people are using, illegal dealers or dealers outside of our state, when they do get their marijuana, it's laced with things like rat poison, fentanyl, which are deadly and also, very big of concern. Would you say that there's any positive, though, the fact that it's going to be regulated starting Thursday?
It could be, but again, money comes into the picture. It's going to be more expensive. There's no question about that. There are going to be a variety of qualities and THC content, et cetera, et cetera. And if you talk to the people who have been using for a while, they're going to continue buying off the street because it's cheaper. And many of the people who purchase cannabis or use cannabis, begin using it, don't have the money to go into a retail store and pay those prices.
Gotcha.
I've heard that already. Mm-hmm. I've heard it already. And this isn't from children. This is from adults.
Adults, sure. Sure.
Who have been smoking cannabis for years and said, I went in there. It's a ripoff. I'll buy it off the street. So they're willing to run the risk. And you're so right with this fentanyl, which is such an important issue that is being used by drug dealers for every type of drug imaginable at this point, whether it's ecstasy, cocaine, opiates, marijuana, K2, they're finding it everywhere, and it is a killer. Hence the reason why we need to pay extra attention to what we're doing here. So could retail sales yield a safer product? Yes. I don't think there's any argument there. I wouldn't argue that.
Okay. Well, Rudy Marconi, the first electman in Ridgefield, I know you said that you are going to be presenting, basically personally talking to the town's Planning and Zoning Commission, and we would love to get an update from you when that happens to see what happens next.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens across our state. Connecticut's a great state. The governor's done an incredible job with this pandemic and other issues. He's been a great leader. This is just one of many, many issues, but it's one that I believe is very, very important to the future of our younger generations.
Well, we would love to have you back on the show anytime, Rudy Marconi. Thank you so much.
Be well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Dozens of people are still unaccounted for. We are expecting the death toll to continue to rise out of Surfside, Florida, where a deadly collapse happened last week. And a lot of times, Julius Dudix, I'm sure you have clients who ask you this question. I know I am asked this question as a news reporter. How can God let bad things happen to good people? Why do horrific things like the Surfside collapse, why do they happen? And you're going to dive into this morning. It's a tough question to answer, and there's no perfect answer for someone. But if you could even just scratch the surface on this question, that would be great. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is such a difficult question to deal with because whenever you deal with strong emotions, you're dealing with anger, fear, depression, worry, sometimes guilt. And it's got to be handled delicately. The bottom line is, we always say, I said this before, time and time again, you build on truth. And the truth is that no one can fully understand another person's pain. And no one will ever be able to fully understand why God allows tragedies. But there's something, Melissa, that I tell my clients that about knowing why that makes us as human beings feel in control and more content if we could understand why, because it gives us that feeling of being in control. But the truth is, we may never know why for days or weeks or months or years later. So why does God allow it? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I think we live in a fallen world as well. And as a Christian counselor, I always teach my clients that original sin has its consequences. It's the result of our choices. In other words, God doesn't allow bad things to happen, but we as humans have brought that upon ourselves. We've allowed bad things to happen and evil to happen to us as a result of our choices. As far as hurricanes and as far as shootings and starvation and border issues and all those kinds of things, you know, I don't think there's a good answer out there. But the bottom line is, a better question to ask would be, now that this has happened, what am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it affect me? Those are some of the better questions. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Julius, I think you touched, though, on something that gets missed a lot. I think whether you're religious or you're not, I do think it's amazing how no matter where you fall, whatever denomination you are or aren't, as soon as something mm-hmm. awful happens, God comes up.
Yeah.
And what I think you are touching on is the fact that whether you believe or you don't, humans were given free will. So because we have free will, unfortunately, as flawed human beings that we all are, unfortunately, a lot of times we cause our own issues. And it's interesting. I don't know what you say to your clients when, you know, when that is explained. Like, what you just said makes sense to me. I understand that. But I think, you know, you're right. How do you sort of get off, though, that question of why did this happen to, okay, where do I go from here?
Right. And that's where you need to really be emotionally honest with how you feel. And why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? And am I going to let this define me for the rest of my life? I can't imagine. Can you imagine going home and your husband got killed as a building collapsed?
No.
I mean, that's the pain. And you can never talk a person out of their pain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I've learned the deeper the pain, the fewer the words. You can offer any type of help. I know there are grief share groups out there. You've got to really give yourself permission to grieve loss, admit and feel and discuss it, journal about it. But a lot of times we do blame God, and a lot of times God rocks the boat to get our attention, and He'll often use hard times to do that. And I always tell my clients, you either bow your knee to the trial or you bow your knee to a God who loves you incredibly. And that's the key to really, when you don't understand what you don't know about God, Melissa, I always tell my clients, understand what you do know about God. He's loving, He's kind, He's merciful. And to our question last week about justice and what's going to happen in terms of the long haul with people who are treated unfairly and that issue of justice. Well, God's word says in Romans that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You'll be heaping coals on his head, coals of fire on his head. Overcome evil by doing good. In other words, in the long haul, God is in control, and God is going to bring every evil, every whatever into account. We're accountable to an almighty God. But when you don't understand what you don't know about God,
mm-hmm.
understand what you do know about God, that He's loving and just.
Julius Dudix, I'm curious, how do you turn clients away, though, from taking matters into their own hands, like suicide?
Yeah, that's a real tough one. And the bottom line is with suicide, most people, Melissa, don't really want to take their life. They just want the pain to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, you really help them make sure they're safe. You know, in some situations, you know, I've had to call 911 and so forth. There are horrific things when your mind goes to a place of, I just want to shut down. I just want to take my life. We all have those thoughts from time to time.
Sure.
But are you acting upon it?
Are you going to write? Are you writing letters? Are there behavioral changes? There's a whole list you go through regarding giving away items, regarding things that you say, behavioral changes that need to be noted. But above all, you want to just show compassion, and you want to make sure the person is safe if they're thinking about that. But they really want the pain in their life to go away.
So, Julius, if somebody is listening this morning and they want your help in trying to get rid of the pain or at least deal with it in a healthier way, how do they contact you?
Well, they can call me to set up an appointment, 203-243-7714. Or you can read about me on Facebook or LinkedIn or BARK.com, the BARK website. You could do that.
Julius.
You know, sometimes, Melissa, God allows suffering to show us that we can't do this alone. And it brings us closer to him. I had a son with cancer when he was a year and a half old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I almost turned my back on God. But by God's grace, I didn't. And he made it. He's alive today. He's got a little boy. And it's a positive story. But there are many out there who have lost loved ones. And I commiserate with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Julius Dudix, always a pleasure to have you. You're such a great resource for the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Well, we talk about supporting local all the time, especially during the pandemic. And sometimes you guys will say to me, I want to do that. I want to support local, but I just don't have the money to do it. Aha. But there is a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. There is a way that you could support local in ways that you couldn't even imagine without spending a dime. You want to know? You want to know? Krista Carnes is here this morning, our social media consultant. Krista, how can people support local without taking even an ounce of change out of their pocket?
It's just social media love. Like it's just sharing what you love about your favorite businesses, your favorite deli, your favorite, tailor, whatever it is, you know, we have a power to publish with social media. And while we don't necessarily own the platforms, our voices can go a really long way. And I think, you know, we might not want to, we can't all afford to go out every night or do something, but either when somebody asks you on social media or asks a question for a recommendation, that's one way, linking to their Facebook page or their Instagram to really make the connection is a second step. And then, you know, really just going and liking those businesses on Facebook, on Instagram, commenting, you know, when they do something that, is great, share a wonderful customer service story. There's so much that you can share, which you'd be doing maybe in person with your neighbor who asked you the same question. It can go a really long way for them.
Would you say, Krista, in your professional opinion, that something like a Google review, for example, does it really make a difference for that business to grow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm blanking on the stat at this point, but I think it's something like 68% of people search online for reviews before they go somewhere or buy something.
Wow.
So while I think we all have to take certain things with a grain of salt, you know, sort of disgruntled people, you know, may bang the loudest drum sometimes, you know, when you really have a legitimately great experience, putting it up there really makes a difference. In fact, I had to have some auto body repair work and I said, oh, you know, you can't tip them really, you know, and I said, oh, you guys are so great. It's so wonderful. And they're like, it would be great if you left a review. And they mean that because, you know, when you hear it. And then I think the other thing is when we get a recommendation, I always do this and, hey, you know, you came up a whole bunch of times on my, you know, mom's Facebook group that I'm in, or, you know, I found you online because of this review or nextdoor.com or wherever it is, because the more they know about how they're being perceived, the more they can, you know, invest in that a little bit. And if they are investing in social media advertising, you know, it helps them go a longer way when there's more engagement, when there's more traffic, when you know, it's sort of the platforms reward that. So, you know, taking an extra minute to do that, you know, a like is one thing, a comment is more valuable. And then obviously, you know, just recommending people in general and telling people that you got those recommendations helps those business owners be more confident in their decisions to to use social media.
Well, and I've noticed too, Krista, that even it's sometimes depending on if you're somebody who likes the popularity, let's just say, of social media, I've noticed that people have started to get more and more into brand repping, where companies will give a discounted price on something and say, hey, you know what, we'll host you for a dinner, let's just say, and you give a review on your social media pages, and it's basically you're going to build popularity because people are going to go, oh, wow, like that's very neat that this woman is going to local restaurants and she's reviewing them. So then you get the popularity of people following you. But at the same time, you're recommending places that you truly think are great. And it then in turns, I would think, brings them more clientele as well. So I've noticed brand repping has become a bigger thing, too.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us in the, you know, we would call that like sort of paid influencer content, sponsored content, you know, and often, you know, the only caveat with that is if you are being asked to do that, you really need to disclose it. Hey, you know, I was treated by XYZ restaurant, but, you know, my opinions are all my own. And if you have a following that trusts you, they're going to know, like, hey, I really like the calamari, but I didn't like this. And, like, you know, you be honest about it. But I do think, you know, if that's a way for them to invest in a way that's affordable for them, that's definitely one way to do it. I think there's things like giveaways that, you know, little boutique owners or other service providers can offer and help get the word out through people, as long as they can't win it themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely sort of what we maybe like augmented, like beefed up word of mouth, right? You know, you have to do it up, and you have to be careful because it's not a, you know, if you build it, they will come necessarily. But, you know, little things over time. And we have a saying in social media marketing called surprise and delight. And that's when, you know, you sort of unplanned, get, you know, give an influencer something, you treat them to something, you send them a surprise box, or, you know, or you're sending them something and you throw in a few extras because you want to help them, you know, want to capture that sort of surprise and delight that they have. Mm. So if you say to somebody, hey, like, I'd love to have your review on Facebook, and maybe you see that a customer does it, when they come in next time, you know, treat them to an appetizer or, you know, offer to do something for them. And, you know, if you're trading, you have to be careful not to trade services for, you know, positive reviews, but, but you can delight people and say, hey, would you mind sharing that picture you just took on Instagram? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, somebody takes a picture outside your ice cream shop, like, oh, that'd be a great summer picture. Can we use it? And I think the other side of this is also that the business owners themselves need to get involved with their customers, help tell their customer stories, share something that went really nice, you know, a nice interaction, even if you don't do it by name. And then also answer the comments that come on your pages and your social media profile.
Right. Business so engagement.
Yeah, because they want to know that there's a real person behind it. And, you know, while we might be paying someone to help us with it, you create a voice and a connection, and that's all anybody wants. They do business with people they like, know, and trust. Mm-hmm. So everything you do should be to help your potential clients and your current clients like, know, and trust. And reward some of your loyal customers. You know, I get really annoyed when, you know, the cable company offers these great deals to, you know, new customers. I'm like, but I've been a customer for 20 years. Like, right. Come on, like, where's my deal?
Where's my incentive? Right.
Well, right. And so think, keeping that in mind, like, how can you do that? And maybe once a year you create some sort of, you know, fun campaign, stop on by for a free ice cream cone because of that, you know, and it might cost you a little bit in product, but, you know, are you going to get the word out? And then somebody remembers, hey, that's that really nice really nice shop that did this.
Right.
And that kind of reinforcement over time. And it's consistency that's key there.
Yeah. Well, Krista, I think this is so interesting, not just for the consumer to be able to help without paying a dime, but also for businesses to kind of figure out how to expand and use these platforms for their own good. So, Krista, if people want to follow you or they want to get more information, how can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter. Like, that's probably the best place to start, at Krista Carnes. And I'm Krista at KristaCarnes.com by email. So you'll find me there.
Awesome, Krista.
Let's do that Q&A, Melissa.
I know, yes, we are definitely. Krista and I would love to open up to allow any of you, if you have questions specifically about the online world, social media, Krista wants to take your questions live, actually. So the next time Krista comes on, not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, and I'll remind you guys about this, Krista would love to take your questions. She is ready. She wants to be in the hot seat, and more power to her. So if you have questions for Krista, go ahead and pass them along, or you can call in live when Krista is back on the show in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Krista.
Awesome. Thanks, Melissa. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good.